live in the land of the ice and snow. My name is Heather, and I'm here today with my co-host, Kimberly, who you might remember from episode 140. Kimberly likes cookies.
Yes. Hey.
It's nice to have you here, Kimberly.
Thanks, Heather.
Helping out.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So now we got two Texans, two basically Houston Texans, doing the podcast today. And our guest today is from Mexico, Liliana. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And happy Cinco de Mayo.
Thank you.
And this is part of the reason we asked you to be on here, because it's Cinco de Mayo today when we're recording. And before we started recording, we also talked about how in Mexico, maybe you don't really care to celebrate it as much as we do in Texas.
Yes. But we thought we would have someone from Mexico here to represent.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great invitation. We do celebrate, but okay, probably not as much as I have seen Kim celebrate and yeah, other people and friends, of course, in California, in San Diego, yes.
Right, yeah, because Kimberly was saying with the Texas celebrations, I think it's more like a Mexican heritage kind of celebration. And I mean, why not have a reason to celebrate?
Yeah, in Texas, it's a really big party day. It's kind of like everyone's like, oh, it's so great. And you just wear something really colorful and you're just kind of hanging out with friends. I think it's an excuse to have a margarita.
Yes.
And to eat Tex-Mex. So mm-hmm, people are like, they say the most alcohol is consumed that day in Texas. I'm not sure.
I believe that.
quote me, but you can Google it and see. Yeah.
So in Mexico, how would people celebrate?
Yes, I come from the north, uh-huh, from Tijuana in Baja California, and we didn't celebrate so much. I mean, we probably talked about it in schools, and we did a little bit of celebrations, you could see, but not as much as in the south or in other places, I would say. And my experience has always been celebrated in San Diego, in California. Yeah. So there you could go out, meet some friends, drink a margarita, like Kim is saying. So
yes.
And it's always about social, always about celebrating, look for an opportunity to drink margaritas, eat good food, enchiladas or tacos or something.
Yeah, I remember having really you good over to my place years ago and for a Cinco de Mayo lunch, and you made this incredible flan. Do you remember that?
Yes, I love that.
It was delicious.
Yeah. Yes, I still make it. And sometimes I can make churros, not so often. And they are so good, so amazing.
Oh, now we have to come to your house.
Yes.
Could you maybe explain what Cinco de Mayo is?
Yes, Cinco de Mayo is a celebration where the Mexicans, the second time they got free from the French. So it was in 1862 in the state of Puebla. And it's like other revolutions and after that. But we celebrate that, and we celebrate also Independence Day as well. But that's in September. That is not Cinco de Mayo. But I think if I remember well, I celebrated more Independence Day than Cinco de Mayo. But Cinco de Mayo has been more, like I said, a tradition in USA.
Yeah.
where you eat more Tex-Mex food.
I think it was some sort of, I'm not really sure, but I'm kind of pulling this out of the air, but I think it was the opposition or something were sleeping, and so they won the battle because they had attacked when they were taking a siesta or something like that. So that's why it's being celebrated on that day.
Mm-hmm. But it's a fun celebration, and we as Mexicans, I believe I can speak for many.
You have
like to be social and
talk. Yes, you're here.
You're
from Texas.
I'm trying to represent you.
But how is the Mexican community in, I would say in Sweden, but in Stockholm?
In Stockholm, there are many. Uh-huh. I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm estimating about 600-700 or more, even more. It's a quite big community. And I'm in a Facebook group with a lot of Mexican, just girls are in. And it's quite fun. They try to support each other when it's possible. But of course, you cannot meet everyone.
No.
Yeah. And a lot of them, it's just a generalization, but it doesn't have to be. Many used to work, for example, in Ericsson, which was kind of big in Mexico.
Right.
And a lot of Swedish men went there to work. And then they came back with a wife.
Yeah.
But the group is very fun. I believe they're hardworking people, many with great degrees, amazing history backgrounds with their university studies. And, you know, they like to work here. They are a group that like to be social as well. So sometimes they create a little celebrations on the sides or, you know, get together.
Well, that's nice.
No, that's always a nice group.
My friend and former co-host, Diego, he was from Mexico, and he used to talk about some sort of Facebook Mexican community group where he would get his tamales. And like, it felt like a drug interaction. Like he would meet somebody he didn't know on the subway and he'd pass over the money and they'd pass over the tamales because he couldn't get them.
Like, oh my God, yeah. I wish I knew Diego.
Well, I know.
I need a tamale hookup.
That's fun.
I love tamales.
I buy my tortillas from a friend that has a company, but it also feels, are you home? When can I drive through and get the tortillas?
Yes. But I feel like there's been a bit of, over the past few years, a bit of a Mexican food revolution in Stockholm. We've done our burger revolution. We've done our Italian pizza revolution. I feel like the Mexican food is getting there.
Here.
Not the Tex-Mex, but the Mexican food, at least. I mean, obviously, I think Lynette kicked it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just noticing more and more places that are opening up with, I don't know if
restaurants.
They're authentic or not. But
Well, I've tried several. I always try to visit. And there's a couple more I need to visit, but they've been quite good, actually.
Can you list some of the ones that you know of that are...
It's Lanetta, and the other one is called... They have two different restaurants in Chulo. Chulo, you write it with an X.
Oh, Chulo. Yes, I haven't been there, but I've seen it's come up on my Instagram.
Yeah, they have a really nice food, actually.
Oh,
okay. I think try it.
There's this other one, too. I think it's called Tres something.
Tres. They had a couple, one in Sicla, and the one in Sicla closed, and now there's another one.
And then there's
here
like
the city.
One on Söder. I want to say it starts with like C H E L Shelmas or
Chelas.
Something.
Oh, Chelas.
Chelas.
I saw the one in Chelas. Yes.
Central American, maybe.
I've heard that it's also great, but I haven't been there. Mm-hmm. Have you been there?
I've been there. It's very good. Yeah.
Yes.
I think maybe it's a mix
maybe
of
more
like
South American Latin
Mexican
cuisine
and Central America. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but excellent food.
Well, you have to try Chulos if you have tried Chulos.
Yeah,
and then just, I mean, it's kind of personal what one likes, but
yeah,
it's great to try different ones.
Oh, that's on my list now.
Yeah.
And that's going to be within the month.
Let's go there now. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But of course, these are all in Stockholm. I'm really not aware of what the other big cities like Gothenburg and Malmö have.
Gothenburg
going.
Has as well. I can't remember Rosalita. I can remember the name, but I've heard it was a nice one too. Mm-hmm. A good one too. Mm-hmm.
But let's get into you now.
Yes.
That's what I'm very much interested in. So why did you move to Sweden? How did you? I think you've got quite a long pathway here.
Yes.
So can you tell us how you ended up here?
Absolutely. Well, I did my studies in Seattle, Washington, and I met a couple of friends there from school, from my internship, and we decided to travel one day to San Francisco to go to the wineries, have a nice time together, like a reunion. And I met my husband there at the same hotel.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like when we started to talk, he asked me, where are you from? I said, well, I live in San Diego. And he said, I live in Sweden. And I thought, okay, I'm never going to meet him again. And some years afterwards, then we were married and I was living here in Sweden. 2003.
We moved.
After that, we've been living here because he was already established here in Stockholm.
Yeah, same for me. Yeah.
So it's a long distance relationship, but he comes from Norway. And since I met him, I started to realize I want to learn the Swedish language. You know, I could hear him talking on the phone. And I thought, this is fun. This is like a challenge. I can try to learn it.
Yeah.
I thought.
Why not? You speak Spanish and English. Why not Norwegian or Swedish?
When we were dating, I bought a little book and I started to read some phrases and I could pick up some things when he would talk on the phone. And I thought, okay. And when we got married, he'd ask me, okay, do you want to learn Swedish and which school? And he said, you want to go to the private one or to the, you know, to the free school? I said, we try the free one first. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I was, I think I was advancing on the Swedish quite fast. So I talked to the teachers and said, you know, I want to go to the higher levels. Yeah. Because every time we used to travel a lot. So every time I travel, I came back to the classes and they were still on the same pages or one page after. And I said, no, I need to go faster.
Yeah. Mm.
And but from one group to the other one, the difference in language, the degree was so much higher and different. So I was from reading basics, I was discussing newspaper articles with the next group.
And okay.
I mean, having discussions. So the learning curve was quite high there. But it was fun and I finished. And after 6 months, I could speak like I speak right now.
Six months.
Yes, it went so fast.
I think it's, really I mean, fast. Some people obviously have a gift for languages. But I also think if you grow up and learn from a young child another language, at least one other, I feel like your brain is a little more open to accepting, you know, how to process and learn other languages. It's just my theory. I don't know.
This agree.
Is what I tell myself, so I feel better about my...
I tell myself the same thing, so it must be true.
Yes.
I think some people have a knack for languages and some people,
it's
you know, it's a bit difficult.
Some words, I mean, some words can be quite similar. And I've also always been close to music. So I think you develop your ears, your hearing processes more sounds.
Did you make any mistakes at first?
Absolutely.
Like, embarrassing ones? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Couple that I really remembered. You know, I was trying to, my husband's father and mother had made dinner, especially the father. He had made fish and this amazing food. And so I tried to thank him. And instead of saying, thank you for the hook. So I said it completely different.
Oh, that word.
And they looked at me and they laughed, but they understood I was trying my best.
You're lucky they understood. Well, yeah. this is very much like Kimberly's mistake. Yes.
I had never heard this story. I'm like, great. I feel so much better now. I'm not the only one that's like made that faux pas.
Yeah.
No, but it was funny. And then we went skiing with this other couple and we had very nice time. And I thought that the lady was really nice. So I had looked at the dictionary, what nice means, you know, that was really the beginning. And instead of saying, oh, det var trevligt att träffa dig, I said, det var skönt att träffa dig.
Like that, beautiful or...
Yeah, but that's another meaning when you have been probably together. So, yes. And so she looked at me like this and Rune and a friend were laughing. So I understood it was something wrong with that.
So, oh, my goodness.
I made mistakes and I think I make them... sometimes as well.
So no one is perfect, I see.
No, it's nice to hear that. It's universal. So how did it go with you finding a job?
I had a lot of experience. I'm a dietitian and I had a lot of experience from hospital and clinics in USA. So when I came here, learning the language was quite fast. And during those years, some years later, they came up with the registered dietitian's license for dietitians here. They didn't have it, I believe, or they had it around those years when I moved. But there you needed the language and you needed experience. And I tried to get my license here, revalidate my studies. And they say, yes, you need this level B on the Swedish. So I took it. I got it. I sent my papers to get it validated. And it went very fast. In 1-2 weeks, I already had my license. However, it didn't work for 11 years.
Uh-huh.
We were traveling. I had kids. My husband was traveling. And I thought, I want to focus on the kids. And just, you know, I thought one of us has to be at home. So I did a lot of volunteer work for an international association for dietitians in the USA.
Uh-huh.
The basis in USA is the biggest dietitian association. So I did a lot of that. I took a lot of courses. I mean, I was just doing a lot of fun stuff that I think
You kept up your skills.
I kept up my skills.
Yeah.
And I was reading. And I also kept my dietitian license in USA because every 5 years I have to renew it. And in order to renew it, you have to take classes and courses and webinars. So I was studying all the time, taking care of the kids. I mean, I took web design out of...
Oh, wow.
I thought it was fun. With the coding, now I don't think it's fun anymore. I took more dance classes, and I mean, I was doing everything and volunteering for work. So, but one day I saw this application and I said, I'm just going to apply. And I got the job, but I said, oh, I'm going to travel. I'm sorry. So I left the job. I mean, I know.
Oh my goodness.
I told them during the interview and they said, you're really qualified. But, you know, I wasn't ready, really. Yeah.
You were just testing the waters.
I was just testing, and I sent the application Friday at 3. They closed at 4. And on Monday at 8, they were calling me for an interview. So I was really, and I'm like, okay. But anyways, 11 years later, I saw another job. I was just thinking, now I'm ready to go out in the field, and I wanted to really work 100% and really get to know how dietitians work here, how it is to work here. And I got the job. So it was really fun.
Okay, so you said yes.
There. I said yes. And I've been working there since then. So
I think you have like the dream experience here. This is so different from me and from a lot of people who struggle with the language and still struggle with getting permanent work. Yeah. So good for you. You're living the dream.
I don't know. It just
happened. Falls in your lap.
Yeah. But you do strike me as somebody who, like you said, oh, you volunteered here and you kept up with court. You took things for fun. You took dance courses. Yeah. You seem like a person who is very active, even when you claim you're not being as active. Yes. And it seems like you really put yourself out there.
She seems like she's being incredibly active, because it's like, I'm just learning. I've known her for like 20 years. And I'm like, what? You were doing all this? You know, I would probably leave your house after a baby group and you're like online taking 12 courses. And I had no clue.
Yeah.
But you used to be a ballerina.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So
when I was growing, I was in all this, and I was in Mexico. I went up to 6th grade there. I was in the chorus group and the poetry group and the acting group and the music. I mean, you name it. I was everywhere. And then my mother said, okay, do you want to study ballet or gymnastics? And I said, well, classical ballet, because gymnastics usually are short. They get shorter. Well, I'm not so tall, but that could have been worse.
Yeah.
So then I started classical ballet since I was 8 years old, I think. So that's been my passion. It's just been something amazing. So I have a degree in dance, and I used to teach in Mexico. And when I moved here, yes, that's one of the things that my husband asked me. He said, what do you want to do here in Sweden? I said, I want to dance again, because I had stopped in periods because of the university, internship, and moving. Yeah. So, and I said, I want to dance again. So he said, okay. We used to live here in the city, so I went to Ballet Academien. Mm-hmm. And I looked at their levels, because I hadn't danced for 10 years. And so I said, well, anyway, so I said, which level do I fit? So I went to the highest level, because I was really good. And it was amazing. So great to dance. So I was dancing again until I got pregnant. I didn't know I was pregnant with my daughter. And suddenly I came home. I was shaking, not feeling well. So I found out later I was pregnant. Oh. Then I took a pause and then back again. So I've been doing that here.
Wow. Well. Do you still do it?
I still do it. I do not in a school. I do it private at home.
Uh-huh.
I try to do, like this morning, I went up early.
Well, sir.
And did some basic exercises like the bar, which for me is so relaxing. I listen to classical music and I just feel great. I mean, you start breathing, you start working, focusing on your movements, and it's been.
But do you know Sarah Jessica Parker from like Sex and the City? So she was a ballerina and she uses that to this day. I think she still uses the stretching techniques and all of that sort of stuff. That's her exercise. She says like our cardio keeps her flexible and in shape. And
me too.
It's a good workout.
Absolutely. I feel that. I mean, I have a gym card and I can go. And you do the machines and you feel like a stronger muscles. But when it's about stretch, I mean, you kind of stretch, meditate, and blood flows in a different way. I feel that's all. I like it. And actually, when I was dancing there, I decided to take a higher class. So I went to Dance Circus Högskola when I wasn't working. Uh-huh. And I took additional techniques ballet on Vaganova. You know, the ballerina. And it was like how to teach kids and how to teach adults this specifically Russian technique ballet. So I did that. And I met this person there. He was a dancer, and we happened to have our kids in the same preschool. So I didn't know he was teaching at Kungliga Ballettskolan, and the wife was teaching in Sikla in this school there. So she was going to take a pause, and she said, "Oh, Liliana, do you want to teach ballet? My husband said that you're very good at dancing."
Oh my goodness. So let's just throw all the jobs at her.
Yeah. So I said, sure, why not? But that was crazy, because that was at the same time I got the work, the same period I got the work in Akka, at the clinic. And I said, okay, so I was working 100% there with nutrition, because I wanted to get all in.
Yeah.
And then I was working on Sundays, giving classes for the kids. Anyways,
wow.
Ballet classes.
Oh my goodness.
So I've been doing a lot, but dancing has been there.
Okay. But so, that's why I hardly ever see you anymore.
Yeah, I know. When Kim invites me, can you this? I'm busy or something.
Yeah. Traveling.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Did you ever perform in any kind of ballet production?
Absolutely. We did a lot in Mexico and even in San Diego. And we did all the major classical ballets, like La Filma Gardie, Coppella, everything, The Swan, Swan Lake, everything.
Yes. Have you performed in Stockholm?
No, I've been just dancing in Stockholm. I thought about, because if you want to really go to the professional classes, not the one I went to, then you had to go in the mornings. And then I had my daughter, so I couldn't leave her. So I decided not to go in.
Yes. I think that's amazing. And then also having to raise a family, having two beautiful, talented children.
Thank you. You
have a lovely home that you maintain.
Yes.
Yeah. And your relationship with your husband, you're like best friends, been married for quite a long time.
We try to.
Yes, I know.
It's challenging.
It's challenging. Yes, nothing is easy except getting jobs.
Yeah, and languages. Yeah.
No. But I mean, I know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I know that your daughter is a little superstar as well. She's represented Sweden in some competitions.
Yes.
Would you like to expand
Absolutely.
On that?
Absolutely. Well, it was quite fun, because having a ballet and dance career, so I thought, well, Natalia, I want you to play piano. I want you to dance. Let's go. We take the mama-daughter group in Ballet Academy. And she was dancing. I thought she was the most beautiful there. But then later, and then she was also dancing in Akka. And later she said, "Mom, I don't want to dance anymore." So I said, "Okay, what do you want to do?" And she talked to me and my husband, and she said, "Well, I want to do when you shoot like Huita, like this, or fencing." And we said, "What?
Yeah.
Where did you see that?" Because when you see a kind of not so popular sport, you only see it. The Olympic Games or something like that. And she said, "Okay, well, we find a school for you." There was one in Sachsenhausen. I don't know, quite close to Nacka, closer than in the city. So we said, we go and try it. And we loved fencing, everybody, the whole family. The first time the teacher said, "Oh, you parents can also try it." So we tried it. And I was fascinated by it, my husband too, and of course she was, which she was. So we started taking her there, and she started once a week, twice a week, three times a week. So our Fridays, when the father was traveling, my husband was traveling, the teacher would say, "This is for adults, but your daughter is quite good, so she can come." So we would go on Fridays, and we thought it was the best Friday ever. She would exercise, I would watch her, take pictures of her. And it was like a mama-daughter thing, driving to fencing. And then she invited friends to try the fencing. Some girls didn't like it. It was so hard. Others did. And so she had a friend there. And she became really good, actually. So I was driving her on the weekends to Helsingborg, Örebro, Uppsala, just for her to be in competitions. So, she got second place on her category for the whole Swedish Svenska Mästerskap. Yeah, so it was really exciting. And she was very mentally strong. I mean, because when she started the competition, she wasn't winning the first matches. And then suddenly she decided, "No, this is not what I want," and started winning all her matches until she got to silver.
I mean, it sounds like you really inspire your family to try things.
I was her coach, because the coach could be to could go to some competitions, but not all of them.
Right.
We would travel together, and we were just together sometimes, or with our friend, or with the mother of the friend, I mean, together. But I tried to talk to them, and since I was in every lesson watching her, I knew what the teacher would say and think. So
you were learning all the techniques. You're like, I'm a fencing mom.
Yeah. So one day I saw this opportunity for in Naka commune to get a stipendium. So I told the teacher, you know, there's Naka commune has a stipendium, and this is really fun. I mean, for kids that really do well in sports. And Natalia had already won a lot of medals. I said, shouldn't we apply for her? And she said, yes. So I wrote this beautiful letter. I mean, I think I got inspired. I thought she's an inspiration for other women and especially girls at her age. Yeah. You know, fencing represents, this is a minority sports group. Yeah. So I said, this is representing women.
Like Kimberly said, it's something that doesn't cross your mind.
Yeah. No. And so she won that stipendium. So she has been, it has been really fun to see her develop.
That is wonderful. Yeah. You're encouraging me. I've been on this thing this year to try a lot of different things, and this just encourages me more. I'm trying to find things. I did do fencing. Unfortunately, I hurt my leg really bad. I couldn't continue. Oh. But yeah, I'm trying to look for, like, what are all the different kind of things you could do and just experience life, sign up for stuff. Try it out. You might find something you enjoy. Like, sounded like your daughter hadn't tried fencing before, but it looked interesting. And boom, she found something that really fit her.
I know.
So, and also it's a good way to meet people and to find other communities of people. It gives you something in common to talk about.
Yes. Is she still fencing?
She stopped fencing because of the school. She decided to, she wanted to go to a school in the city, not in Naka. Mm-hmm. So she went to Ostra Real. And so it was like the distance, the timing, the world.
Oh, yeah.
Just a
younger
life.
But if she can
life.
Pick it back up at some point in life.
Yeah, she has thought about it. But now she's living in Linköping. Mm-hmm. So they have a place there. So we'll see.
Well, we should probably start wrapping up, but we usually like to wrap up by asking if you have any kind of tips for anybody.
Yes, I think what I like about Sweden, it's the nature. I wasn't so interested in that before. Uh-huh. Of course, I've liked to travel, but just coming closer to nature, that's what I mean. I mean, really living and accepting the different weathers, and like they say, you know, you have to have the good clothing, and that's true, because I try to be positive about it. We can sometimes can be negative. Oh, it's raining. Oh, it's cold, and you know, just get a nice warm hat and and good shoes and warm gloves, just to be able to go out and enjoy, because we have to learn how to coexist
with nature
and be with the nature. I've learned a lot about it too, how to have clothes, and I think it's important.
But I also think that you could offer really great advice with regards to health and diet, because you have your website and your company with information with regards to, like, eating healthy and living sustainable life.
I still have not my website done, but I just started my company last year. And it's more about giving presentations about nutrition and healthy aging and autoimmune diseases. And
do you find that that's maybe a little easier in Sweden than in some other countries? I find it a lot easier to be healthy here because everybody walks, whereas, say, when I go and visit in Texas, well, it's just too hot. Everything's not really made for people walking. Food is cheaper over there, but not good for you, whereas I feel like you can eat healthy for a good price over here. And
I feel actually it is easier to be healthier here, just exactly for the same reasons you mentioned. And as part of, like, so my advices for feeling good here in Sweden, it's definitely get a good contact with the nature, like I said.
Yeah.
Having a good food, having a good diet and good nutrition, it's vital. We have very low sun here. So vitamin D is essential for the well-being. We associate it with the skeleton, and it helps the calcium absorption, but it's much more than that. I mean, we're talking the immune system. We're talking when you have low vitamin D, it's more possibilities that you have also autoimmune diseases or some other diseases. Mm-hmm. Can be many of the people who have several diseases have low vitamin D levels. And actually the research said that when a lot of the COVID that patients that were hospitalized, very sick, had low levels of vitamin D. So it's really involved. So if you go out with the nature, if you eat well and really complement with vitamin D or getting the sun or traveling, mm-hmm. if you can, to get the sun, it really makes a difference on how you feel internally and mm-hmm. how you feel. It's more easy to feel positive and happy than be depressed with low vitamin D levels and not think it's fun to live here.
Yeah. I think if you're feeling healthy, you're more likely to be happy.
Your mood is happier.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, and of course, social connections. For me, I could feel that learning the Swedish language was quite well, because that could open possibilities to talk to other people and mm-hmm. understand the culture mm-hmm. and come into the culture.
Yeah. I actually and not make those faux pas.
Yeah. And I actually asked my husband yesterday, because I knew I was going to come to the podcast. And I said, oh, how do you think I have adopted in Sweden? He said, oh my God, you've become too Swedish.
And he's Norwegian.
Yeah, he's Norwegian. He said, you're outspoken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's
like,
you're confident.
You're too confident. Mm.
But that sounds
like
more Norwegian than Swedish.
So, I'm like, where's my Mexican one? So we started to laugh. I said, okay, I'm still there.
Yeah. But so, you have to say, what's the name of your company?
I just started, like I said, Nutrition Glow, LL for Liliana Löderup.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so my idea is to help women, to help people feel better. Just making the right choices. Sometimes we just have to make 1, 2, 3 choices, which make a huge difference into how you feel. And I feel like vitamin D is definitely one of them, and B vitamins as well. And we can
exercise.
Go
exercise. Yes, I know. We'll have to do another one.
But you said you're working on your website, but is there anything there right now that people can go and check out?
No, they can just email me right now. Yes, no website right now. And so I'm working. I just opened my company and I'm studying. I went back to...
and teaching ballet. Yeah, and writing her first novel. I'm teasing. Your photography. Yes, that's another thing.
Yes,
she's like an award-winning photographer.
Yes, thank you.
Can we add more to the list? I think
I just want another. Yes, thank you. I love photography. And that's been my passion. It's really been beautiful to come closer to the nature and just look at the reflections. It makes me feel so relaxed. And I mean, come on, everybody has some stress.
Yes.
And it varies from day to day. But I've been feeling... looking at the reflections on an early morning or evening from the lighting has been my passion. And I mean, enjoy food with a good company, because food seats better.
I feel like I'm accomplishing that. That's the one thing I can go check.
Oh, great. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for talking
thank
to us
you.
Today. And again, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Thank you.
Yes,
cheers.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.